Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
What is the Bible? Who wrote the Bible?
The church will continue to be even more irrelevant when it quotes letters from 2,000 years ago.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, is where our trouble began.
This sounds to me like the voice of someone who really has an appalling ignorance of what the Bible says about itself and what Jesus said about it.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
With all due respect to Elvis. Yeah. We are not the bridge. This is when was the last time this was ever played on, well, even YouTube, frankly. This is Wretched Radio. The obvious problem is we are not the bridge. Jesus is the bridge. What is the issue? Racial reconciliation. But of course, and there is a Bible study that is making its way boldly into evangelical churches because the topic du jour, which is also the topic of the day, racial reconciliation. We need it. The Bible says it is already provided, and it is not given in us. It is provided by Jesus himself. We are not the bridge to racial reconciliation. I get the point of a new Bible study called Be the Bridge. I understand what she's trying to say, but it's overlooking the obvious. The Bible has the solution. It's found in Christ. Get saved, and you will begin immediately looking at people differently. You don't see them the same way. You had a love where there was once animosity. You have kindness where there was once cruelty. You have humility where there was once condescension. That's what Jesus does. And we don't need to pretend that we can somehow bridge the gap between black and white, especially without him, which is precisely what this Bible study does. And you should know about it because it is almost certainly being offered to your church. You maybe don't see these things, but your pastor does. Whoever heads up your Sunday school does. Whoever opens the mail does. This is a Sunday school that is all the rage. It is called Be the Bridge by Latasha Morrison. Cripplegate has done a review on it. And I would simply point out that this Bible study, the biggest problem with it is it doesn't focus on Christ. It focuses on us. Was talking to my buddy. That's right. I have some friends. All right, at least I think they're friends. Whether it's reciprocal or not, that is not the point. Pastor Milton Vincent, Riverside, California. You may remember him as the author of the Gospel Primer Primer. Whether you pronounce that primer or primer, whether it just is based on whether you live in Augustine or Augustine, Florida. He wrote a Gospel Primer encouraging us to keep our eyes on Christ. And when I was talking to him about the issue of racial reconciliation, as a pastor only can do, he said, I just keep coming back to the simplicity of Christ. Are we focusing this issue on him? Are we looking for our reconciliation in him? Do we look for our healing in him, or are we looking elsewhere? And the truth of the matter is we most certainly are. All of these current conversations about social justice, they have more to do with Marx than Mark. Thank you. I wrote that. Thank you. That's mine right there. I'm gonna tweet that one, right? That's a meme right there. Are we focusing on the simplicity of Christ? And when we have a Bible study called Be the Bridge, it appears we're not. From Cripplegate, Morrison, the author of Be the Bridge. Again, if you don't think this applies to you, it does if you go to a local church. This is the inroad that is being made with social justice, Gramscian Marxism theories. Morrison sees the United States as broken along racial lines. Stop. Is that how the Bible sees it? No, it recognizes different ethnicities, not racial lines. It recognizes different ethnicities. But the Bible draws the lines clearly between saved and not saved, unregenerate and those who belong to Christ. Those are the biblical division lines. Not one American culture, there are two. That's exactly why you see signs when you drive by somebody protesting on the streets like I did. A woman was holding a sign that said, respect our culture. This comes a little bit from multiculturalism, but the thinking that there are two cultures in America, black and white. Now, I suspect Asians, Latinos, they might suggest, well, then what about our culture? Nevertheless, the focus is on black and white in this book. This author of Be the Bridge sees two Americas, two cultures, white America, the race that is taken for granted, not a factor, and folks of color, where race is the defining feature of their existence. That ought not to be, certainly not for Christians. I'm sorry, you're black, white, or purple. That ain't who you are. That's skin color. That is very, very low on God's totem pole of priorities. You're a Christian. That is your totem pole. You're not a tennis player Christian. You're not a former golfer Christian. You're not an overweight or underweight Christian. You're a Christian. The white culture, according to this Bible study, has wealth, power, and influence. I wonder what defines wealth, because I don't know about you, but and that's by and large the culture of people of color, not true for the people of color in the United States. So you've got rich and poor, black and white. Do you feel the division? Who bridges that? It's not a conversation. I hear the word conversation one more time, I might just act. That is what this is all about, conversing. We don't need conversing. We need Bible studying. We have our bridge. Back to the review. The divide is not limited to the world, but it is seen in the church. Much of Be the Bridge is written in the context. Let's just see if this pops out at you like it did to me. Morrison kind of came up with this whole idea of the need for racial reconciliation when she moved to Austin. That's in Texas, if you don't homeschool, and joined a predominantly white evangelical church. Who's looking at skin color? Even though she was involved, she felt she didn't fit in. Her friends had all seen the same shows and movies, like Friends and Gilmore Girls, and none of them had seen the color purple. That's her cultural example of the division. And it serves to highlight how despite their common attendance at church, that's not what unites us. What unites us is Christ. Morrison and her white friends were from two different Americas. This made Morrison wonder, shouldn't the church bridge that divide? No, Jesus bridges that divide. And if that is what we're discussing here, wow. That we have different, if you will, cultural experiences or different TV viewing experiences, or we listen to different music. That's it. Shouldn't those things actually, no pun intended, color our relationships? Isn't that why you get to know people and get to figure them out and, you know, hear their story, understand where they come from, listen to their background, because, you know, that's just what human beings do. But no, according to the author of this Bible study, that is what divides us. You see, it's clear we don't have these cultural things in common. You would think, therefore, the remedy of Be the Bridge would be that we all have the same cable subscription or Spotify list. But no, she tries to bring it into the church to suggest that we need to be the bridge. This is what we're talking about? And this, to me, is, I think, the most vivid example of how confused we are culturally about culture. A civilization has cultural norms, ways that we do things. If you go to Japan, you take off your shoes before entering an abode. That's what you do. We don't tend to do that in America. Some people do, some people don't. And by the way, I'm unsettled on the debate because I get your shoes are bringing in all the schmutz from the streets, every place you've been standing. But you kick off your shoes and your sweaty feet. Come on. That isn't like spraying Purell on the floor. That's sweaty feet juice. I don't know where I stand on the issue. The point is, there are cultural things. And yet, some people maybe like to wear a blue suit. Others maybe like to wear a black suit. Some people like to dress a certain... Those are things that can vary. Listening to music. That's why we have different channels. Those things are fine, but that is not what, if you will, defines cultural norms. And this blurring, an oversimplification of what makes a culture, that somebody watches the Gilmore Girls and another person watches The Color Purple, if that's the trite level that we're dealing with, this to me reveals more of an understanding of just how a society works than it does a need for a really bad Bible study that accomplishes the exact opposite of what it pretends to do. It doesn't unite. It isn't a bridge. It divides because it misses the point. Jesus is the bridge. This is Wretched Radio. What does $28 buy these days? Well, for starters, it buys an ultrasound. More importantly, it buys a life.
My pregnancy was unplanned. Abortion was in the back of my mind, but seeing my baby girl moving and hearing the heartbeat, it was so overwhelming. We can't wait to welcome our baby girl into this world.
That is one grateful mommy, and I'm certain it will be one grateful baby who was given life because you provided a free ultrasound through preborn.org/wretched. $28 will provide an ultrasound 80% of the time. A mommy who is choosing the termination of her own child will choose life. Will you please consider supporting this very efficient and life-saving ministry that preaches the gospel? Preborn.org/wretched.
You know someone, I know someone, we all know someone because suicide is an epidemic. Every year, 1 million people take their own lives. It's actually the third leading cause of death among millennials. So we all know someone who is in desperate need of help. As Christians, we have the answers that the world fails to provide. 13 Reasons Why You Should Not Commit Suicide is Wretched's newest resource, and it tackles this very topic. As Christians, we have the Word of Life, so let's share it with the world that desperately needs it. And you can help us to do that by partnering with Wretched to help save the lost. The more you give, the more we're able to give away. Wretched relies on the kindness and generosity of God's people. Our goal is to preach the gospel, to equip people to preach the gospel, and to strengthen the local church. You can become a monthly partner with our ministry today and know that 83% of every dollar you give goes right to ministry. Get all of the details right now on becoming a gospel partner at wretched.org/donate.
Don't you just hate it when somebody says, oh, you got to see this video. Well, then prepare to hate this because, oh, you got to see this video. I'm looking at poor people in Eastern Europe receiving care packages from the Tomorrow Clubs. You're familiar with this amazing ministry in Eastern Europe in poor nations. They bring the gospel to little teeny tiny villages, can hardly call them towns. The kids gather, they get loved on, they get treats, and they get the gospel. But now, due to the COVID pandemic, poor people are even poorer. The Tomorrow Clubs are responding in tangible acts of kindness, putting together care packages to bring to the parents of these kids, and with it, they're bringing the gospel. Would you please visit tomorrowclubs.org/wretched? See the work that they're doing and consider supporting the effort to bring the gospel to Eastern Europe. Tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Hermeneutics. A vital part of biblical hermeneutics is an understanding of genre. One genre we find in Scripture is narrative. Narratives tell us of real events with real people in real places at a real time. Not everything we read in narratives is condoned by God, but everything we read is part of God working out His plan for the world.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Supposedly, there'd be no fighting if we all just listened to the same music. Seriously, this is Wretched Radio, a Bible study. It's all the rage. It is knocking on the door of your church. Perhaps it's being introduced to your Sunday school class. Well, not really a Sunday school class, because this particular Bible study isn't really for everybody. This is Wretched Radio. Be the bridge, a Bible study that encourages you to gather 10 people. It seems the author of this Bible study that is making great inroads into evangelical churches wants it to be 10 women. I don't understand why. I don't understand. Okay, I have an inkling, but nevertheless, they want 10 women to get together, no more than 5 of one particular color. Okay, can we already see the divide taking place? This isn't about unity. This is already about division. We identify in skin color. Okay, so you get together these people, and then what do? You have conversations to talk about your experiences, your history, so that you can be the bridge. With all due respect to the author, we are not the bridge. We've got a better bridge, one that doesn't get blown down in a hurricane. It's Jesus Christ himself. Our unity is in him, not in shared stories. The author of Be the Bridge, recognizing, hey, I went to this all-white church as a black person, and we listened to different music. We listened to this type, they listened to that type. I just felt so left out. Really? That is what causes us to feel like we're left out? Now, I'm not naive, and I can use a bit of an imagination. If I entered a culture, I went to Japan, and everybody had listening experiences, I certainly wouldn't. Does that mean really that I'm out? No. I'm not out, because I'm in Christ, and they are too. If I'm looking for cultural things, and we've got to define culture right, our experiences, what makes up music, art, history, government, etc., then I'm looking for the surfacey things. Those are the trivial things. Don't we want something that brings us together more than what your Spotify list is? Really? A review done by Cripplegate points out even more problems with this Bible study you should be aware of. And even if it doesn't hit your church, knowing how people are thinking on this issue is so helpful. And as the title, I think, betrays the simplicity of the understanding of what genuine racial reconciliation is for Christians, I think that's our response. We just keep pointing back to Christ, in Christ, the simplicity of Christ. Are we talking about Christ, or are we talking about music? The Gilmore Girls versus the color purple? That's the bridge? We don't need something. We got something better. Bring it to Christ. Bring it to Christ. Bring it to Christ. And I suspect you might just end up annoying people who are trying to be the bridge, because they don't see Christ as the bridge. It seems at best we need to help him. There are other problems with this particular review. The lie of race. Be the bridge, while it does identify the Bible, doesn't make race an issue. We are one race. Nevertheless, it is a focus on race. And once it is granted that race is a biological fiction designed to do harm, it's hard to move on from that to building a Bible study that literally divides its members up by race. That's exactly what this does. Remember, when you get together for this Bible study, it has to be different races. White people need to confess, repent, make reparations for historical acts of racism committed by other white people. That's the goal of this. And by the way, just so you know, reparations would be higher taxes, funding of black businesses, making sure that you try to intentionally do business with black people. And we need to make sure that they are getting more than others. That's reparations. Now, is that a problem? Is that something that Christians should be saying that's going to make things better? Furthermore, I would ask, this conversation seems to be rather one way, doesn't it? It's all the fault of white people. And that just is not the Christian way to look at it. When you're in a marriage, if you are always looking at the fault of your spouse, good luck with that. But if you're looking at yourself to fix yourself, you look at you, I look at me, that is the Christian perspective. I can barely fix me, let alone fix my spouse. Not that she needs it. I'm just saying. So if anybody says to her that I suggested that I can barely fix me, are you kidding me? I can't fix my kids. We need to be fixing ourselves. This Bible study makes it quite clear. Nope. There's one party that has got a whole lot of fixing to do. Furthermore, be the bridge. While she, I'm sure, the author of this would say, no, I'm not. It is just littered with Marxist and critical race theory ideas. Which, by the way, was reading an article from Stand to Reason. I don't know if it was Alan Schliemann or if it was Greg Kokel who wrote it. When you're debating some of these issues, if we just hit the surface issues, which would be the fruit of a deeper root, critical race theory is it. Let's be going toward the root, critical theory. That is the big deal out of which all of these other bad ideologies stem. There's another problem with Be the Bridge, and this is something that only a pastor could identify. In this particular Bible study, where we are encouraged to be the bridge, some of the questions maybe aren't very thoughtful. I recognize we sometimes need to talk about issues, even though we know that there is potential that somebody could feel the sting of them. For instance, it's Mother's Day, and the church wants to recognize mothers. Okay? Swell. There's a lot of women who might be sitting there who are hurting because they've just lost a mother, or they'd like to be a mother, and God has not opened up their womb yet. Nevertheless, we recognize that. And we are sensitive to that, but that doesn't mean that we don't ever talk about that, because then we can never talk about anything. I could talk about a hangnail, and somebody listening out of the tens and tens of people could have an uncle who actually died from an infected hangnail. Well, okay, we're kind of stymied here. Nevertheless, what would be some of the things that are not very sensitive about Be the Bridge? Consider this. Quote, do you understand how a white parent adopting a child of color can be problematic? How can we avoid white savior complex? And what if there's a woman sitting in this, what appears to be a mostly women's Bible study, has adopted a black child and she's white because they didn't see that they were being a white savior. They were just trying to adopt a child, and skin color was not the determining factor in their decision. It could sting a little bit. Couldn't it? Or, quote, do you know the history of private Christian schools in America and their beginnings as segregation academies? Not sure where that history comes from. Parochial schools, got to thank the Lutherans for that. They love schooling the kids. Why? To train them up so that they could read the Bible, to memorize scripture, to understand God better. I didn't know it was a segregation academy. Nevertheless, quote, how should that history influence our current decisions about school choice? So now we have a Bible study telling you basically where you should send your kids to school. There's an overreach that might have some sting. Suggestions for people who are in the church without much racial diversity. They should include, quote, visit or join a more diverse church. So now this Bible study is telling you leave your supposedly white church, and go join a more diverse church. Really? That goes racing beyond chutzpah. Really? Or consider moving to a more diverse area. Wow. Now the bridge is telling us where we should live in order to be in a more diverse church, as if somehow diversity of skin color is the only biblically acceptable form of church. How should a pastor feel about it? What if you do live in white suburbia? What Leave your church. Go someplace else. Are you kidding me? Here's another question from Be the Bridge. What is the purpose behind people of color starting their own businesses or building organizations that may exclude white people? Exclude white? What? Huh? What happened to being a bridge, a Bible study that is anything but, that based on its cover, you can judge this book and say it's deficient and it is missing the point? Why? Because all of these man-made schemes, influenced mostly by Karl Marx and not the Gospel of Mark, oh, wow, misses the point. We are not the bridge. Jesus Christ is the bridge, and any Bible study for racial reconciliation that misses that point should be left outside the building. This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I am Jimmy Hicks. Well, the state of Indiana's 18-hour ultrasound law will go back into effect on January 1st, 2021, as a result of Indiana's largest abortion chain, Planned Parenthood, conceding that it will not win its suit, which has blocked the law since 2017. The ultrasound law, part of the 2016 Dignity for the Unborn Act, signed by then-Governor and now Vice President Mike Pence, requires that women considering abortion be provided the opportunity to view a fetal ultrasound at least 18 hours prior to an abortion. A significant decline in abortions is expected in Indiana as a result of the ultrasound law going back into effect from July through December 2016. While the ultrasound law was in effect, there were 496 fewer abortions in Indiana compared to that period of July through December 2017 when the ultrasound provision was blocked and abortions spiked to a 13% increase. Chalk one up for the good guys. Speaking of which, Los Angeles County has asked that Pastor John MacArthur and his Grace Community Church be held in contempt of court for violating a court order not to hold indoor worship services over this past weekend. This is the latest in the high-profile battle between Southern California's megachurch and the city, state, and county, all of whom seek to enforce a public health order prohibiting mass gatherings due to the potential spread of coronavirus. Although the original public health order carries the possibility of MacArthur and other church leaders being arrested or fined for violating it, that's not the tack that the county has chosen at the moment. Instead, the county appears to be pursuing a second line of prosecution against the church by documenting the church's violation not only of the public health order, but also of the subsequent court order. That means MacArthur and the church face two separate violations, each with separate legal paths. The case against Pastor MacArthur and Grace Community Church continues to draw national attention because it represents a national debate over the meaning of religious liberty in a time of global pandemic. In a sad, sad case of humanity, British TV star Carol McGriffin recently admitted that she is not ashamed of her two abortions. McGriffin, serving as a panelist on the talk show, spoke about aborting both her unborn babies recently in reaction to news about dropping fertility rates. McGriffin said that she had an abortion at the age of 28 and another at the age of 38. She said they were both accidental pregnancies because she was on the birth control pill at the time. She admitted that she did not even tell the father of her second unborn child. McGriffin said it was a one-night stand and he didn't need to know. McGriffin said she is not ashamed of her two abortions, but that doesn't mean that she's proud of what she did either. I would beg to differ with that comment. More Wretched Radio still to come. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Revelation. Special revelation is God's act of making himself known through direct means. In history, God has spoken directly to people like Adam, Noah, Abraham, Moses, and the prophets. 2,000 years ago, he revealed himself in the person of Jesus Christ. Today, he reveals himself in his perfect word, the Bible. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
No! Not more bridge! Don't panic, it's not that bridge. This is Wretched Radio. A different bridge for your consideration. Kinda went downhill for EP after that Year 1972. Consider another bridge if and you would like to grow in holiness. Taken from the printer. Somebody's blog.tm. Oh, it's from the Master Seminary. That's where it's from right there. Bridging the gap between hearing and doing. Do you struggle with that? You read your Bible, you listen to sermons, and yet perhaps your response to it isn't as great as you would like it to be. Perhaps this bridge story will help you. The benefit of a bridge is often taken for granted. Consider the state of Michigan, and every Michigander raises his or her left hand, palm out to say, "This is where I live," because it's a reflexive thing. Muscle memory for the Michigander. Got to show you, I live in the Upper up here. I'm in the Palm down. That's where I live in the state of Michigan. As you know, there happens to be a lot of water around Michigan. There are two masses of land separated by enormous lakes. They call them Great Lakes. Honestly, they should be seas. Those things are huge. The Mackinac Bridge connects these two land masses and enables people to travel between them. Without the bridge to get around Lake Michigan, it would require swimming, not advised, boating, or driving the hours-long trip around. And you know, because I have ADHD, that reminds me of something I was reading last night in the Gospel of John. Chapter 4 specifically, you of course know that as the story of the woman at the well, a Samaritan woman. Who was she? What was her lineage? The Samaritan ethnic group, gonna say race, ethnic group, was the mutt breed. And that is why the Jews considered them to be dogs. They looked down on that, at best, half-breed people. And Jesus was in northern Israel, and he was going to come down to Jerusalem. And John says that Jesus was tired. The gospel that focuses on the divinity of Jesus Christ also gives us a glimpse into his humanity. He got tired like we did. That's why we have a sympathetic high priest. Jesus gets us. He understands hunger. He understands what it is like to get mocked. Jesus understands what it is like to lose friends, and he understands what it's like to get tired. Fully God, fully man. John shares both with us with that little tiny detail. He was tired. And it's said also that Jesus had to go through Samaria. Why? There were three routes if you were north of Samaria to get to Jerusalem. The direct route through the region, or you could go to the left side or the right side. I guess some people who took geometry would call that east or west. I wasn't very good in those classes. Nevertheless, it said he had to go through Samaria. And theologians ponder why. One group would say that Jesus had to because expediency, timing. He had to get to Jerusalem for some reason. I don't think that's right. Why? Context, context, context. Every single time you're confronted with a conundrum, a confusion, or what appears to be a contradiction when you're dealing with a heathen, look at the context. Jesus witnesses to the woman. She runs into the town. Hey, the Christ, the Messiah, he's here. And what did Jesus do? He stayed there for 2 days. Therefore, getting to Jerusalem lickety-split could not have been the issue. I suspect it was more about Jesus demonstrating, I do not have the same attitude toward Samaritans that my brethren do. And that ultimately Jesus makes it clear that while he did come for the Jews first because he is their promised Messiah, that message was going to go out to the world. And he revealed and demonstrated, I'm willing to talk to what you consider to be dogs to bring the good news. I think that's why he had to go through Samaria. Now, if you have to get across from one side or to another in Michigan, you got yourself the Mackinac Bridge, the connecting bridge, often overlooked. But, needless to say, its importance is crucial. Friel, where is this story going? Right to your home and your sanctification. Here's the illustration. There's a connection in the Christian life between the sadly distant realms of hearing and doing. Christians often struggle to take what we read or hear and put it into practice. Ain't that true? And many of us are missing the bridge that links hearing and doing. Would you like to know what that bridge is? If you're a Christian, you most certainly do. Question. Can a Muslim, can a Jew behave morally? And the answer is, well, outwardly, sure, they can live their entire life without ever getting arrested, without perhaps having a great deal of scandal surrounding their lives. But does that mean that they're no different than Christians? That that Christianity isn't the better? We're just a moral system where we can pull ourselves up by our bootstraps, get better, perform better, and look better to the world? No, we're different. Those religions do not have the bridge. And what, again, is the bridge between hearing and doing? And the answer is Christ. This is why I would like to commit to making sure when I am in a conversation with people about a contentious issue, whether it's social justice, whether it's politics, I at least want to have rattling around in my brain, Christ, Christ, simplicity in Christ. Where is Jesus in all of this? And the answer, in the process of sanctification, what separates Islam and Judaism from Christianity is the bridge between hearing and doing, Jesus Christ, specifically delighting in Him. Did you know that we are commanded to enjoy God? From Sinclair Ferguson. While he's talking about the command. Enjoying God is a command. It's not an optional extra. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Is that a psalm? No, not that it would matter. That's Philippians 4:4. We rejoice in God. We delight in Jesus Christ. And that is our bridge between hearing and doing. And if you've been struggling, you've been learning a lot of theology, but maybe your sanctification process or your affections haven't been changing, this could be the bridge that helps you get there faster. Are you delighting in Jesus Christ? Are you reading the Bible to delight in God? Or are you reading the Bible because you have to, because, well, I want to be disciplined in my Bible reading, and that's good and that's right? Or are you reading it perhaps to make sure that you're amassing more knowledge because, well, I need to learn more stuff and there's nothing more important to learn? Or are you learning the Bible, reading the scriptures to love God more? This is so easy to miss, isn't it? Last night was reading John chapter 4. And I can look inside of it and I can look for things, because that can be another way to read the Bible, can it? Hey, look what I found. Hey, Jesus didn't have to go to Jerusalem because, look, 2 days. Ha, 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 ha. I found a little nugget. Context, context, context helps again. But did it help me love Jesus more? Did I stop and go, wait a second, the better alternative is that Jesus had to go through because He had to demonstrate, I am going to save the worst of the worst according to the Jewish people. And did I stop and recognize what that implication is for me? And that I am the Samaritan? I'm the mutt? I'm the one who needs to be grafted in? And He, in John chapter 4, was revealing, I'm coming to save you, the loser who plays Elvis singing Bridge Over Troubled Waters, not once, but twice in a radio program. I'm willing to save you. And did that stir me? Did that warm me? Did I ponder that and stop and get that? Maybe this is the bridge that you need too, is getting back to actually delighting in God. Delight, this is Augustine, or Augustine if you're from Florida, is the only possible source of action. Nothing else can move the will. Therefore, a man can act only if he can mobilize his feelings, only if he is affected by an object of delight. We try to jump from hearing to doing without that awareness of the biblical bridge that connects them. And the bridge is Jesus Christ and delighting in Him. And if you have been struggling, your affections Might I encourage you to figure it out? You've got to figure out how you're reading your Bible. You've got to figure out how you're listening to sermons. You've got to figure out how you're praying, and then get to work on fixing it, tweaking it. Be a spiritual, a soul mechanic. Make some adjustments so that you're not just reading for the sake of knowledge, for checking a box, which we can do, even if you don't like that phraseology, but that we are reading and studying and hearing and singing so that we can be obedient to the command to rejoice in the Lord always. And if you do that, congratulations, you're on the bridge of Jesus and your sanctification will accelerate. This is Wretched Radio.
Is an hour of wretched a day just not enough for you? Can you not get enough of good theology and mediocre comedy? Do you want to see the man behind the voice that you hear on the radio? Well, then head on over to wretched.org/TV and watch hundreds of hours of our Wretched TV. Our 30-minute program is jam-packed full of topics. You'll hear topics ranging from theology to evolution to pneumatology to evangelism and so much more. So grab some popcorn, find a comfy spot on the couch, and turn on some Wretched TV. And a quick thank you to our gospel partners. Without you, there is no Wretched, so we are eternally grateful. If you want to help support Wretched so we can stay on the air, visit wretched.org/donate. That's wretched.org/donate. But don't forget to visit wretched.org/TV for your daily dose of Wretched. That's wretched.org/TV. Wretched.org/TV.
And now a message from our brothers and sisters in China.
If I have 1 minute for American brothers and sisters, I just beg them to pray for the supply of the Bibles, and God will open the door for the Chinese people to hear the love of Christ.
The government of China tightening the screws, doing everything that they can to eradicate Christianity from their communist regime. Our brothers and sisters, they have a prayer. It is not that the persecution would stop. It is that they would receive the word of God. There are a paucity of Bibles in China, and we can change that and provide the word of God for our brothers and sisters who are being persecuted, not just in China, but around the globe. Bible League International, $5 per Bible. Will you answer their prayer? Wretched.org/Bible.
129 people commit suicide in the United States each and every day. We all know someone who is in desperate need of help, and as Christians, we have the answer that the world fails to provide. 13 Reasons Why You Should Not Commit Suicide is Wretched's newest resource, and it tackles this very topic. Next month, September, is National Suicide Awareness Month. Would you visit wretched.org/13 to order your copies of 13 Reasons Why You Should Not Commit Suicide, and then commit to handing them out to as many lost and hurting people as you can. Every year, 1 million people take their own lives. As a matter of fact, did you know suicide is the third leading cause of death among millennials? It's such an epidemic around the world, and as Christians, we have the word of life, and we should share it with a world that desperately needs it. 13 Reasons Why You Should Not Commit Suicide. Available now at wretched.org/13. That's wretched.org/13.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who He is and what He has done. Jesus is called the Good Shepherd. A Good Shepherd protects, directs, provides, and cares for His sheep. Jesus laid down His life for His sheep. No one can snatch them out of His hand. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
All right, you fox-watching evangelical, this ought to make you happy. This is Wretched Radio. Of course you're a fox-watching evangelical. That's redundant. That is what we evangelicals do. However, over the last couple of years, this was a personal decision. Mrs. Friel and I have not been consuming so much Fox. We discovered that every single news story was not, surprisingly, a breaking news alert! Everything that was delivered was not the end of the world, and yet that is the way that Fox positions virtually everything. Fa-boing! Breaking news alert! Everything, really? Today, Donald Trump flew to Camp David. Back to you, Stan. Really? That's a breaking news alert? And because so much of the conversation on Fox caused my gut to feel like I had been drinking too much coffee on an empty stomach, it just seemed best for us to dial it back, to maintain awareness of what is going on in the world to the degree I need to know and can protect my family and can be aware of anything that I should know that might actually impact me and my community and my local church without drinking in all of the information that was delivered, in my estimation, in a rather corrosive fashion. That was our decision. And occasionally, I admit it, we'll just kind of maybe fire a shot to potentially encourage you to consider, how much Fox are you consuming? How good is it for your soul? And is it possible that it all of the talk about everything, whether it's the local talk guy, whether it's the national talk guy, is it increasing your joy? Does it cause you to love Christ more? Does it encourage you to be more a part of your local church? Now, I understand we have a tendency, all of us, including anybody who has a microphone in front of their mush, which is virtually everybody these days, that we either or things. I'm not saying we're not aware. I'm not saying that you don't get involved. What I am saying for me and my house, we just don't need that much. This might make you happy if that commentary makes you annoyed. Have you been watching Tucker Carlson lately? Whoa, this dude. Wow. He is a study, this guy. And I would encourage you, I'm not saying that everything that he delivers in his opening monologue is sinless because some of his snarks, wow, he's absolutely savage. But he sounds different. He sounds genuinely different, and he sounds rather aware, and I'm just intrigued by how he is presenting himself as an Episcopalian. He says he's an Episcopalian because he loves the liturgy, but he doesn't really like the church. Nevertheless, he is trying to infuse some of his thinking, some of his politics with his Christianity. Really interesting concoction to watch him try to stir up. It's not an easy task. It's not a simple thing to do. And because you bring in more than you probably realize when you try to inject Christianity into politics and vice versa. Nevertheless, watching him is an absolute study. And I would encourage you, if you are looking for something to tune into, check out that dude's opening monologue. It's tonally different, and yet it's critical. You could judge that sometimes he goes over the line, maybe a lot. That's worth studying too, isn't it? But the tone of it, I think, is at least something worthy of our consideration. How to talk about these issues and those people without sounding so perhaps stern or angry? His monologues, I'm telling you, they are truly more stinging than anything I've ever heard come from Sean Hannity, Bill O'Reilly, Laura Ingraham. He's just off the chart. But he doesn't sound like he hates everybody. And so if you have been annoyed with my commentary on Fox, perhaps that will encourage you that I'm not anti-Fox. I'm just I do not want to become what I'm consuming, if what I'm consuming is really acidic, because it happens. And I think we could, I'm telling you, I think there's some things that we could study about a guy like Tucker Carlson to say, how do I present myself? How does the world hear me? And by the way, even as we strive to do so, I'm not sure it's going to help much. Recently, there was a statement that was signed by a number of theologians called the Philadelphia Statement on Civil Discourse and Strengthening of Liberal Democracy. Now, liberalism, you probably tend to think, oh, like Jimmy Carter, like high taxes. Well, I think the term liberal, meaning more of a liberal ideology, an old school liberalism, a freedom-based liberalism. Not the Democratic Party liberalism, which isn't even liberal anymore. It is so far left. They signed a statement that basically said, hey, let's be nice. And a number of theologians signed this. This, by the way, is a very ecumenical document. It's very ecumenical in that you've got Roman Catholics, you've got Protestants. Well, this can't be right. Al Mohler is signed onto here. I didn't think he signed those things. Nevertheless, you've got Catholic University of America, you've got bishops, you've got Baptists. It's an ecumenical document, which I wouldn't sign because 2 John 9-11, I do not want to give the opinion that I'm on the same page as somebody who is outside of Christian orthodoxy. Nevertheless, this statement basically, it's a long one, that categories of speech shouldn't be defined as hate speech or not hate speech. You got to let people talk. You've got to define what it is that isn't allowable. When does slander become not covered by freedom of speech? Well, when it's slanderous, when there's libel involved. You can't yell fire in a movie theater. And this statement is designed to say, hey, you know, let's get back to that and not shutting down everybody that you disagree with. Facebook. Sorry, little stuck at Google. Stuck in my throat right there. I got to tell you, this statement is adorable. It's not going to work. This is not going to stop what is actually happening in our culture. It seems there's a new conspiracy deal out there. It's Anon, QAnon, I think is what it's called. You can Google it, QAnon. And apparently it's some sort of conspiracy theory, the deep state, they're after Donald Trump, etc. And it's growing in popularity. Facebook is shutting them down, etc. We tend to love conspiracy theories. Well, here's a biblical conspiracy theory that's accurate. The devil prowls about like a roaring lion seeking to devour. He hates everything good, hates it. He can't get to Christ, but he can get to Christ's people and he can get to godly institutions. Anything that is good, lovely, worthy of praise, the devil hates it and goes after it. There's your conspiracy. You want to latch onto a conspiracy. There it is, right there. And this particular statement is not going to stave that off. The devil does not want us talking, because what we should be saying in a loving fashion is what is sin and what is not sin. And I don't think that this statement is going to work. Why? Because the culture has embraced academia. We're no longer got professors that think wonky thoughts over there in the universities. And isn't that charming? We heard what they're doing at Stanford. Isn't that funny? No, those people that were taught this decades ago have graduated and now they're running the place. For instance, Stanford art professor says coloring books have a sinister effect. They induce submission. Why? Well, clearly, duh, coloring books insist that you color between the lines. And that's oppression. Coloring books are doing all that? Here's the quote. This, after all, has been their mission from the start. That coloring books inspire submission. Really? To color is to inhabit a world designed by others, to dwell in an environment where you are left with no options but to memorize what is already there. I am in no need to be reminded of what a small, limited life feels like. I live it and I am tired of it. After days of coloring these diminutive dreams, I came to see the energy I spent on it as dimming my capacity to imagine how a future can be conceived and built. Hang in there with me. Almost done. So I deleted my app. And if these days of stillness and isolation, you are coloring a coloring book, my suggestion is rip it up and reassemble its fragments as a collage. That is a true artistic outlet for those who do not want to accept the world as it is, but want to make a wildly new one without depleting its resources. That thinking is now running the government. And if we think a little statement is going to stave off their animosity toward Christ and us, we're confused. But as we perhaps confront this, maybe I never thought I'd say this statement. We can learn something from Tucker Carlson as we do. Until tomorrow, go serve your King.